And we are back, everybody. This is kind of an interesting show because we were kind of going through our swirl of the last segment, and then we were really just called to jump back on and dive a little deeper into this amazing experience. So everybody, welcome back. Welcome back, Paula and Mary. And Mary had a question when we were off air that that definitely resonated with the room. So we're going to kick off with that. Mary, the floor is yours.
And I know Paula has just a long history of working in with this energy, and I know there's a statement, Paula, that I read that you've said that you're curious about why the consciousness doesn't shift. And I was just wondering if you could explain that a little bit more, where you think things are going, and then what would happen to people if they go on the retreat with you.
Should I start with the what will people experience when they go on the retreat with me?
Absolutely.
As a shift in consciousness.
Sure, sure.
You know, they shift their consciousness. They can't, it can't be any other way. I mean, they could resist it, of course, but who would want to go all the way across the pond and then resist their transformation, right? Or resist something that their soul or their spirit has for them. But there are always changes, you know, for people on spiritual trips. But I love your question about, or my question, my curiosity about why doesn't the consciousness change? Why do we raise children with the same belief systems and the same hardships that we have experienced? Why hasn't it dramatically changed? What are we missing? That's a really good question, you know, like, can we only leap as far as our belief systems allow us to leap, which is really what's happening here, right? We can only go as far as we think we could believe, and then we stop or we collapse in the consciousness in some way. We think that we are our fear. We think that we are our anger, and that isn't true. We are not. They're just feelings. They're just energy. It's maneuvering through that energy that is so enlightening for us. And I teach a lot of enlightenment work, old enlightenment work from ancient Buddhism and Hinduism. But, you know, belief systems are strong. People believe, you know, they're very steadfast in their belief systems. That has to be this way. Or there's a lot of polarity and the duality of life, you know, the right and the wrong, the good and the bad. The devil and the angel, the ego and the soul. And who wins? There's still that who wins thing that's going on in our culture and consciousness. And that isn't the point while we're here. Why are we on this little globe going around in circles? You know, what's the point of it all?
Specifically to duality, I've seen some changes. It seems like, especially now with non-binary and the fluidity of gender. So I see a little bit of that kind of eroding away. Do you happen to see any, when you're doing your reflection analysis, whatever, are you seeing any differences in the consciousness maybe that you saw 20, 30 years ago?
Oh, yeah. So, of course, there's a lot of change in the, you know, spirituality certainly has changed from 30 years ago. You know, it was more hidden. It's more visible now. You know, yoga is everywhere. Yoga is in corporate America. Meditation is in corporate America. Big brands, you know, toxic brands like, you know, laundry detergent and stuff like that now are making healthy laundry detergent, right? No chemicals in their detergent. Look at there's a big lawsuit out now about the weed killer, you know, Roundup, how not only does it kill weeds, it kills, you know, your pets and you and, you know, everything. So there's more conscious awareness about how we're living life. Look at, and the vegan paradigm has just exploded. And I've been a vegetarian or vegan for, I don't know, you know, 50 years. And it was so poo-pooed then, you know, like I was a weirdo that I didn't eat hamburgers or something like that, that I only ate vegetables. You know, it's really bizarre. I've been meditating for 50 years. Mm-hmm. And yoga was meditation when I first started. There was no exercise in yoga when I first started. And, you know, there are a lot of visible changes, but personally, I feel like people are still stuck in belief systems that are not healthy. Mm-hmm. That, you know, people are still waiting for that magic wand or the God or Jesus or whoever to come and save them. And that's not the ticket. You know, there's no spaceship coming, you know, there's no spaceship coming down to rescue us, which used to be a big dialogue 30 years ago, you know, that someone's going to come and save us. It's not going to happen. We are going to save ourselves, but we have to look internal. We have to look at our belief systems and why are we still in the energy of thinking that we're better than somebody else, or we have more money, or we have a bigger house or a better address or a better zip code or a nicer car. Why is that still important? You know, we're not seeing the truth of who we truly are here. And I don't want to say that someone's going to come to Egypt and boom, that, you know, everything's going to be, you know, they're going to be enlightened.
It could happen. I mean, yeah, from what I've learned in this interview, I think it's possible. Like, I'm just saying.
It could happen. That's true. But I don't want to give anybody any false hope.
If anyone can do it, it's you.
No one's going to do it for you. Nope. You have to do it yourself. You have to do the work.
You're the concierge.
Right. And I think that's what... I think that's our next step in our consciousness is that we're, oh, I have to do my own work idea versus that you're going to do it for me. That's what I find a lot of people thinking.
You know what? I totally, totally agree with that. I notice when I see my clients, the ones that move forward are the ones that take that personal responsibility and realize they may need some assistance, but that it's really up to them. And you know, Paula, you're spot on saying that if people are looking for a magic pill or a guru or a teacher that's going to wave a wand, it's not going to work.
What I love with clients are the ones that just want to roll up their sleeves because, you know, even if it's just energetically, but if they're rolling up their sleeves and they're saying, let's ready to go, okay, then let's go. Then I will do anything I can and share any of my gifts and abilities to mm-hmm. help you. And yeah, I'm not going to get you to the finish line by yourself I'm not going to get you to the finish line and give you we can collaborate. Sorry.
And that's why going to Egypt is it's not a vacation. You know, I put it not in the category of vacation, and that might make sense to everybody here, but because it's an adventure, because of the fact it's transformational, you're going to a different country. For some people, that might be scary, but you have an expert guide with Paula, and, you know, you're going to be doing all these new things, but that's what you need to do to take that next step.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a feeling that we could go to Des Moines with Paula and
Des Moines. Hey, I lived in Des Moines a couple of years, so
no offense to Des Moines in any way, shape, or form. I was just saying that I really feel that the energy and the amazing what she brings to the table and what she's offering as a part of this experience in September is amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Paula. We totally went on another little tangent on that one.
That's okay. You know, I see the truth of people. I see their soul truth. I'm not concerned about the physical. I see their soul truth. And the soul, and this is why I say that Egypt kind of puts a person in correction or puts their soul into correction. So they're living a life that is askew from their soul. The Egypt paradigm, Egypt energy will align that, will align their chakras, or will align their timeline so that when they get back to their home country, life is easier. It makes more sense to them. It's more fluid. They can do more things with their everyday existence. You know, even talk to their children differently or their spouse differently. The other thing I just want to say is that I think it was in the 90s, I developed this idea of workshops on tour. And so we sightsee, of course, but we do all this inner work all along the way. And I'll take somebody into a past life as we're going into a temple, or I'll find a you know, a doorway and have everybody walk through that doorway to feel a past life or to feel this life or whatever they need at that particular time.
Do you have a past experience from one of your previous trips that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, I have a couple of them that I remember. I tend to just have the bus stop here and there, wherever I feel like, oh, there's something here. We
Everybody stop!
And so we stopped at this temple. It had no name attached to it. And it was like somebody was drawing me, like my heart, right to the back wall. And I put my hands on the wall. I started to chant in a voice I never heard before. And then my tour eventually caught up with me because they heard me chanting. And they, you know, lined up against the wall with me. And they started chanting in the same dialect and voice. Like, I've never heard it before. But recently, this is so weird, even for me. I think it was in 2021 or something. They're building a huge new museum in Cairo. And they had a big event to move the pharaohs from the old museum to the new museum. And they did this huge event that, you know, it was big. And one woman started to chant in a voice, the same voice that I was chanting in. And she was talking to Isis. And she saw, she was right in front of Isis in the Egyptian museum. She was right in front of Isis in the Egyptian museum chanting to her. And I thought, oh, my God, we were chanting to Isis. And not only that, that's probably her. She's looking at her own mummy chanting to her. She was the part of the Isis lineage in some way. Oh, my. I mean, I was crying and, oh, my God, I was shaking and. So that was one experience. Then the real quick, the other experience was we were at the Valley of the Kings and an unexcavated tomb, and it was all gated and rubbles behind the gate. We were all lined up there, and we saw these white figures just walking through the ruins. And we didn't even look at each other, but somebody said, "Did you see that? Did you see that? What was that?" And we actually saw figures of people walking. So, you know, people sometimes say, you know, I'm a little too spiritual or something, but my whole group felt it. So it was something like that. We had some great experiences. The second time I went, which was, we went out to the Western Oasis to Karga. We didn't do the boat and the cruise. And we were the only white girls out in the middle of absolutely nowhere in the Western Oasis called Karga. And it's unexcavated. Nobody was there except us. And we got into tombs and temples that have been untouched for years. And all we wanted to do was dig under the sand because all of that Egyptian culture was still buried. It was sensational. It's not something that you will ever get on anybody else's tour because most people can't conceptualize or can't see beyond their right here, right? Their own self, right? So it's out of this world experiences.
So tell me about when people come home and the integration, because that's been kind of hovering over me. And I know you have, you're a guide, you're a teacher, you're a mentor, you have classes, you have workshops. I love that you have a workshop on tour. That is brilliant. So what happens when, because you've done this a couple of times and you've brought beautiful guests there, what have you seen their experiences when they come home, when they're back at their computer or they're back with their family or they're back in their job and they've been changed? How do you offer that beautiful integration for them?
It can take a few, weeks to really integrate back into, you know, our Western culture, but one person I remember saying is that she was never the same. She was not that same person that traveled originally. She was an enlightened being. She saw life from a different perspective. And that's generally what happens, is that people are not so tagged in to the, neediness, maybe it is, the patterns, the old patterns, or the neediness, or the need to be somebody, the need to, you know, be so Western. They're more in touch with their inner self and their soul and what brings them joy, inner joy, and in touch with their truth. People generally feel very elated after one of my trips, you know, very like they could conquer the world. They could take on anything. They could do anything for themselves. And that's generally what happens.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my goodness.
Okay. Do you offer any, like, aftercare for people that want sessions with you or help after they get back, one-on-one time that they could set up?
Yes, of course. Of course. If anybody needs help, you know, just reach out. I mean, I don't close the door. I mean, you know, of course, I want people to continue to evolve. That's my thing here is, you know, to have people be enlightened and to help them in that journey. So whatever they need. But yes, of course, I want to help people ascend their, you know, belief systems and their whatever they're going through, help them through that integration period or help them for the rest of their lives, whatever they need. Hmm.
Well, and you shared in our pre-interview research and contact with each other that you have people coming here and on this for the third time. I mean, people are coming back over and over and over to share your energy, to share the experience with you. And I mean, that's a testimonial right there, right? That this is just, this is an experience and quite an adventure.
Yes. I used to have a core group that traveled all over the world with me. And the first time I was in Egypt, I took 25 people. We had a great, great tour. A lot of healers, a lot of most healers and, you know, people who get it. And it was sensational. And then I went back in 2010. And that's when we went out to the Western Oasis. And, you know, that I had one man on the trip and all women. So it was a different experience. But it was good. We had healers on that trip. That was a great trip as well. We always have a good group of people, but I had a core group of people traveling with me. And this time I have three people who have traveled with me before. So, and I want to invite both of you to come on Egypt with me.
Oh my gosh, it sounds magical.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, you guys, this is Paula Moran. She is a spiritual meditation teacher for over 35 years, inviting you to have this beautiful experience and a beautiful safe space in Egypt, September 17th through 29th, 2023. Her website to find out more information is kumaraints.com. Be curious, explore. Not only can you watch this video, she has a video on her website. She's available for questions. Please, if you're curious at all, we invite you to engage and reach out. It will be life-changing. I actually can pretty much guarantee it just from just our experience. Again, I think we go to Des Moines and have a transformational experience with you. On behalf of Mary and Paula and the Being Curious Show, this is Kelly, and thank you so much. We'll see you soon. Hello, hello, everybody. We are back, the Being Curious Show. Today, we have Mary from Zenith High as our co-host, and we are here with Paula Moran from Kumara Institute, and she is promoting and inviting, I like the word inviting much better, an experience in Egypt, September 17th through 29th, 2023, and the next 24 minutes, we are going to just tell you all about it. And why she's going to Egypt, why she's being called, a little bit about her. And I'm so excited to invite her to the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you.
Fantastic. Mary, anything you want to add before we start flowing?
I am really excited to hear about the trip to Egypt. Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's get it. Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to kick it off with, what are you curious about?
I'm curious about a lot of things, but with the Egypt trip, I just am curious about that ancient civilization that populated that region so many, many thousands and thousands of years ago. You know, 3500 BC it started, and that ancient alien civilization that came here with so many tools, healing tools, and a, you know, somewhat peaceful society until we get a little deeper or more closer to modern times of Egypt. But Egypt is, I'm very curious about the energy of Egypt and what still lies unexcavated in Egypt, which is a lot. Because there's, especially in the outer desert area, there's a lot of places that are not excavated in Egypt. So I'm always curious, looking for stargates and portals and openings of consciousness, getting everybody on the tour an opportunity to feel a past life, to connect with the past life. On one trip we were on, and this is my third one going in September, and I think it was the first trip, we came into a temple and one of the people on my trip touched the hieroglyphics and she got chills all over her body and she started to cry. And she said, I wrote those hieroglyphics.
Oh my gosh.
She remembered etching those exact hieroglyphics into the stones. Mm-hmm. So it's an opportunity. Egypt is beyond anything. You know, you can see pictures, you can fantasize about it, you can see parts of it, but seeing the whole scope of Egypt from Cairo down to Luxor, which Luxor has better energy than Cairo, the temples and the just even open markets, the space, Luxor, which is Thebes in the Bible, is just littered in a positive way with ancient ruins and energy, profound energy. And when you come in touch with that profound energy, you could feel it in your nervous system. You could feel it in your energy field. So I'm always curious about all those hidden gems all around, not just in Egypt, you know, but all around the world, even in Machu Picchu or even here in our own backyard in Sedona, Arizona, or, you know, there's some Indian mounds that are in different places in the United States mm-hmm. that hold that same kind of memory for people. But I'm always curious. You always find me digging behind temples and in dirt piles and, you know, roadside half-excavated temples looking for memory and experiences in the Egypt paradigm.
So this is not going to be your typical Rick Steves adventure to Egypt, everybody. This is really going up a notch. Now, Paula, you are a spiritual and meditation teacher for the last 35 years. Please tell the audience a little bit more about yourself.
Online, I go by a spiritual name called Kumari Devi. And I've been in body, mind, spirit since probably before everybody was born, since the 80s. It started in Los Angeles, where I was part of the channeling movement and the New Age movement. And I actually channeled too, but I was part of that, the Bashar channeling. If you know Bashar, the Seth material, Michael material, I was privy to all this unusual and unique data coming from spirit. And I started to channel, I think it was in 1983 or 84. And the energy that came to me was called Kumara. And it's the energy is called Sanat Kumara in Hinduism, is known as the son of Shiva and Parvati, or the son of God. And that energy has been with me since that time. And from Los Angeles, I've lived in a lot of different places, Durango, Colorado, Atlanta. And I'm back here. I keep going back between Arizona and New Mexico for some reason. I'm back in New Mexico, and I've been leading tours for, started in 1987 with a spiritual event called the Harmonic Convergence. I don't know if you remember that time. It was based on the Mayan calendar in the year 2012, which I used to have a license plate in Los Angeles that said 2012. Because we thought that the whole world was going to change in 2012 and that we would all be enlightened. We'd be all on this new earth paradigm and vibrating at a higher frequency. And of course, 2012 came and nothing really significantly changed. And so the journey has been from the external world to the internal world, that we change our relationship with ourselves and see ourselves from a different point of view. And I do a lot of that inner work. I do a spiritual and awakening work. I call it enlightenment, ascension work, and all is the same thing. Self-realization, it all means the same thing. I don't channel in the traditional sense anymore, although I did that for about 20 years. And now I'm very, 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 very intuitive. I can see beyond the veil. I can see beyond consciousness. I can see years in advance. And when you're in my energy field, things change positively for people, and hearts open, and there's a high quality of unconditional love around me. And so I haven't traveled since, I think, 2011. We went to the Yucatan, and then I stopped traveling. Then we had COVID, and here we are. And Spirit is guiding me again to Egypt. I work on planetary grids, so I infuse into the land. It's like a signature, an energy signature. And what we're doing here in the Egypt area is infusing infinite love into the Egyptian subculture. You know, Egypt is mostly masculine. That the Arab world is mostly masculine energy. And now the female energy is going to start to weave more visibly into that masculine energy in that region. And we'll see what happens with all of that. But the trip is open to men and women. I encourage people, men and women, to come with me.
Okay.
And it helps if somebody has some experience, spiritual experience. They meditate or do yoga or something of that nature too.
That's beautiful. So let's dive deeper into this experience. And again, September 17th through 29th, before you launch into it, tell us your website and how do people register?
Register at thekumarainstitute.com/Egypt Spiritual Meditation Retreat, or you can just send an email at info@kumarainstitute.com. That would be the easiest, probably. I'd be happy to chat with anybody if you're interested in coming. It's for 12 days. We have private time in the Great Pyramid. The thing about Egypt is that it's overly populated with tourists,
okay,
unconscious tourists, you know, not spiritual tourists. It would be great if we were all spiritual, like Sedona, if everybody there was spiritual. Mm-hmm. It would be really nice. But in Egypt, there's a lot of unconscious tourism, which is fine. We meditate in the Great Pyramid. We have private time, 2 hours of private time in the Great Pyramid. And that private time with no other tourists, just us, is substantial. And we're going to sail the Nile on a felucca. And we have private time in a Karnak temple at the Sekhmet shrine. Again, overly populated, congested with tourists, but we have private time in that part of Karnak. So it's
if someone wanted to go on the trip, like let's say I wanted to go, what is the best way for me to prepare to get the most out of this adventure?
Well, I don't like people to get too prepared because that gets the ego involved.
Yes.
I like people to show up. I usually ask people to take their watches off and leave their judgment at home and bring their flexibility so that
that's a lot to prepare for. I will tell you, for some to be able to do that, that's a big
huge
one. Yeah, it's huge.
Right. It's so to let go of their previous conditioning, because everybody has a expectation. So I ask people to have an intention. I work on everybody before we go, and I've offered a free session to everybody before we go so we can get all into alignment. And I do a lot of spiritual work behind the scenes, getting everybody in a cohesive group energy, because it is intense. The energy in Egypt is intense. It will pull your soul into correction. Or what came this morning in meditation was that it actually pulls a person's soul into ascension, and it can instantly change a person's spiritual life if they're open to it, of course. But if you're coming to Egypt with a big expectation that that's exactly what's going to happen, that's all ego-driven. And so I like people to really tune into their spirit, to allow for the spiritual part of them to show up, mm-hmm. and not so much their ego.
You know, and that's lovely how you mentioned that. And that, so it sounds like they want to come with almost a blank slate of just being curious, a wonderment, and an intention that whatever happens is exactly what should happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're especially traveling with me, a lot of things come up because I work on that. I work on people's inner self. So, you know, I encourage things to come up. I encourage energy to come up, their fear, their anger, their whatever, you know, doubt or mistrust or whatever to come up. And I don't make any judgment against that. Just let it come up. Let the flow happen in people's lives. It's the judgment that stops mm-hmm. us from, you know, really enjoying or being in touch with our spirit on such a deep level. So that I really encourage that to happen. But I've always ask people to let go of their watches and, you know, their preconceived ideas. I encourage us to get involved in the culture. We put scarves on our heads to honor the Arab culture. Of course, they don't have to. Of course, men won't do that. But, you know, of course, to open up to a different experience. Mm-hmm. Because why go somewhere else with that old, you know, United States Western thinking hat on? Might as well let go of all that and then really enjoy the experience in another country. So we do that.
So how do you hold, I just see you with your energy bringing in, and you're bringing in an international group. I mean, some of the people that have registered are from all over the world. You specialize in holding sacred space for people. So how do you do this in Egypt with all of these other tourists that are not on the same
vibration
as, so because I really feel that these the people that are going to be called to join you are really going to have they're going to need that safe space. How do you, I'm just seeing like a safety net. This is where I start channeling and I start seeing pictures, and I'm called to ask you, how do you hold that safe space for people as they're going through this transformational process in a foreign land? You know what I'm saying, and I see the bubble over your head, and I'm just bumbling my words. So I'm going to be quiet now, and I'm going to let you answer.
Well, I hold group meetings. You know, we all connect almost every day. We do group work. We even do group work in some of the ruins along the way. You know, I want everybody to feel comfortable. You know, I'm a Cancer, sun sign, Virgo rising, I'm this mother energy. I want to take care of everybody on the tour. So we do group work. You know, we check in almost every day at breakfast, or we check in at nighttime and dinner time. And I encourage people to speak their truth, even if they think, you know, sometimes people have cried and sometimes people get really angry, but to just let it out, because it doesn't help anybody to hold it in. And then they go home and they say, oh, I had a terrible experience because I was angry the whole time I was, you know, on tour or something. But it's more, my tours are more than just sightseeing. And Egypt is bigger than pyramids in the desert. You know, it's a bigger experience, Egypt is, than to just see a pyramid in the middle of the desert somewhere. So there's a lot of energy happening. It's like concentric circles going on, like tetrahedrons spinning on in higher dimensions in the Egyptian paradigm. So,
you know,
I hold space. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I agree. I'm so enthusiastically supporting people going on this trip. I remember when I was visiting Egypt, just the energy was so amazing. And on a different note, I remember the food was really good and it was really nice weather. And so it's just, and also, as you already mentioned, taking in a new culture and a new experience was really nice. And I think the thing with going with you, an experienced person running a retreat, is you're with someone that is experienced. You know how to maneuver things. You've already set up all these fascinating and wonderful time that you're going to have alone in pyramids and other sacred places. So I'm really excited for people going on this trip. I really see it transformational.
Yes, it is transformational. And we stay in 5-star hotels because, you know, Virgo rising, we have to stay in very nice hotels with very nice, safe restaurants. We don't go meandering through the streets at night. It's a group tour. So we're all together on that group tour. And, you know, people can't just go out by themselves because, you know, I take everybody's safety seriously. Something happens to them, then it stops the whole trip. And the Egyptian embassy takes everybody's safety seriously as well. So eating in the hotels is safe. Drinking the water is safe. I supply bottled water on my trip. I pay for everybody's bottled water. And so that we make sure that everybody stays healthy. You know, everything's moving. We stay healthy and we have a safe experience.
Okay. So you also said that you offer a free session so people can get to know you on a little bit more of an intimate level after they've signed up, but before they jump on a plane. Tell us a little bit about what a session with you looks like.
Well, it depends. I will talk to anybody who wants to come along first and explain the trip a little deeper than what's on my website. And I do chakra healing work. I spin people chakras, which is substantial change in their energy dynamics. And I also do pattern work. I'm able to go into the subconscious and find the original pattern that is holding somebody back today. So it could be, and usually it's in childhood, but it could be a past life or a parallel life going on. But I could unhook the mind from that. It's like a marker, like an adrenaline marker in their nervous system. I could unhook their mind from that, and it releases the pattern and the way a person thinks, and then they're liberated. They're free from that experience. So I do that kind of work, but mostly just aligning chakras before we go. I don't want to knock somebody out before we go. And then, but, you know, I do healing work through the trip. I offer sessions during my trip as well. And, you know, I want everybody to have a transformational experience. I want them to come away from a trip with me and know that their life has changed in some way, and they can see that change in their 3D reality.
Oh, that's so powerful. Mm-hmm. Now, you also said that you're doing planetary grid work. Tell us a little bit more about that, because I think that's a layer to this experience that watching someone do it, and I've been very blessed throughout my time to be able to see people working on it. Tell us what that looks like with you.
With me, sometimes it's not very visible.
Right. I thought about that after I said that. It's not like it's like you get everything out and you're like, okay, everybody, here's the cement and we're doing this and we're going to plant this and that. No, it's very, okay.
Esoteric. It's very esoteric. So it's not so much about when I went to Peru in the late 90s, I actually did crystal layouts all over Machu Picchu, little crystal layouts. And then that got a little too tedious. And then my third eye is wide open, so I could project with my third eye. It looks like sometimes like the flower of life, you know, sacred geometry. Sometimes you know, spinning tetrahedrons or some other mandala kind of design. And that gets projected into the field at certain locations. So it started with me at the Michael and Mary line in England in the 90s. And I have taken that thread all over the world, from Peru to Bali to India to Tibet to Nepal. And a lot of India work. We lay down a flower of life, like a heart chakra, right in front of the Taj Mahal. And so anybody who, there's thousands and thousands of people that walk over that pattern, that they're getting healed on some level. And sometimes healing isn't so physical, right? I mean, we have a healing session, and it's not like getting kaboom over the head, right? It's like esoteric, you know. Sometimes you feel different the next day. You're not as, a person's not as angry or frustrated or something else in life, or they're thinking totally different, or they see life from a different perspective. And that's what happens with me on tour.
That's fantastic. Okay, as we wrap up the segment, again, September 17th through 29th, 2023, with Paula. This is Egypt, and this sounds like Godsmacked. We've already used that once.
Yes.
Like, this is going to be a transformational experience.
Totally.
And so powerful and in a safe space. I just keep feeling that you have this beautiful way of holding safe space for people to just let it flow I also feel that you meet people where they need to be and where they are. And that's something that not everybody can do.
Yeah, I'm really good. I was thinking about this morning. Like, I could talk to anybody. I could talk to anybody at whatever level they're at. I think it's because of my intuition, because I could tune right into their space and know exactly what they need and make somebody feel comfortable. That's the most important thing, because you don't want to go to a foreign country, you know, and have a horrible experience, right? I mean, you want to go to a foreign country and open your heart and feel safe doing that. So.
Oh, my goodness. Any closing words, Mary?
It sounds like a very exciting adventure. I call it an adventure because it is going to be so transformational in such a sacred place like Egypt, with someone that can really hold that container.
I mean, it's kind of like a twofer. I mean, talk about a bucket list experience. Yep. Like, oh my goodness, you guys. Okay, it's the Being Curious show. Today we're with Mary, we're with Paula. You guys, September 17th through 29th. 2023. Say that 10 times really, really fast. And the website to find out more. Again, you can check out Edge Magazine, and there's a little ad there that is giving information on the retreat, but also Kumara Institute, and that's KUMARAINSTITUTE.com. Thank you, Paula. Thank you, Mary. We'll see you
soon.
Thank you.